Back at it. Thank you for listening today. We're going to talk more about Raleigh Williams. Joining us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline, Richard Davenport, the recruiting guy for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, WholeHogSports.com. Richard, you know, obviously I've interviewed Raleigh a couple of times. It was always in a press conference type situation, but I've always been impressed with him. Any of the videos of his interviews, I've been impressed. But yesterday, reading his letter, thinking about his decision, I was really just blown away. And I said this a few minutes ago, but I think of me at his age, you know, a 20, 21-year-old sophomore in college, finishing up my sophomore year. I mean, to make a decision that he made yesterday and the way he made that decision and to put so much thought into it, a life-changing decision, it really showed me a lot about this young man. You've had the opportunity to get to know him and his family. Were you surprised at all? Because you know the guy. Did he surprise you?
No, not really. It just from the standpoint and just knowing his parents and knowing his upbringing and how, you know, just if you were going to look for, and I'm not going to say they're the perfect family. There's not a perfect family out there. But just getting to know Raleigh Williams Jr., obviously Raleigh's the third, and then Kim, they're just solid, solid people, and they obviously put a huge emphasis on their kids' upbringing. And I mean, the focal point is basically what they focused on in their adult life after marriage, obviously, is raising their kids to be productive citizens, educated to the max about whatever decision they may need to make in the future. And yeah, in the way Raleigh's always handled everything, too, is a reflection of his upbringing. And so it really wasn't a surprise. I know I'm sure it was very, very difficult. I mean, obviously, he loved the game of football. But at the same time, you have to look long term, and obviously, he did that.
I love the quote that he gave that his dad told him at a young age. Don't be, you know, don't aspire to be the guy in the uniform on Sundays. Aspire to be the guy in the suit in the suite that's running things on Sunday. You know, that's big picture stuff, and that's pretty heady for a young man his age. But that I think that backs up or reinforces what you were saying about his family, his and the education. It wasn't about, yes, he wants to be a great football player, but that's not the end means of everything.
Exactly, and I think you know, a lot of kids know that, but at the same time, when in reality, when you have to really focus on you know, life after football, I mean, you're thinking, you know, when you're in your mid to late 20s or even 30s or whatever, you know, you're thinking NFL and, you know, long term, you know, career, and obviously in this case, you know, it's just not going to happen. But he was, because of his upbringing, I mean, he was prepared to make this type of decision and do it in a way that probably most kids weren't able to really break it down so, I guess, you know, so impressively.
What's a family like? You've gotten to know them also.
Well, Raleigh Jr. is a detective for the Dallas Police Department. Just solid, solid guy. He really focused on raising his family with all the crazy hours that he had to work going through the ranks and getting up to where he is now. I mean, obviously he worked patrol, most police departments have three different shifts, and I'm sure he worked you know, all three of them at different times to try to accommodate his family. And just a solid, solid guy. I mean, when you're talking to him, you understand why Raleigh's the way he is and the way Brian is the way he is and their daughter is. And then Kim is a CEO of a nonprofit that helps people transition through life. And she's, you know, I think one time I was talking to him about situation, they were picking up a kid and taking him on a visit or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but unfortunately the kid was just waiting out on the front doorstep and in a pretty tough neighborhood, and the mom wasn't even around, and that really bothered them. And it just, you know, I'm sure that they've mentored several kids, and they're obviously well thought of, you know, in that area, because I know going to Bishop Dunn last year before the A&M game, just ran into so many people that, you know, just thinks the world of them. Shevin Calloway and his family's very, very close to the Williams, and obviously that helped, you know, Arkansas in their quest to get Shevin, but just a lot of respect for that family from a lot of people, and usually, you know, you always go to people for advice that you really respect, and when you have a family like that that's had an experience like they've had at Arkansas, I'm sure that didn't hurt the situation with Shevin Calloway and maybe some other kids that are thinking about Arkansas at that school too.
Is this, and we know Brian, his younger brother, is a highly recruited guy. And I hate, and it almost sounds bad, but this is a situation. It doesn't hurt Arkansas. And if anything else, I think the care, the consideration that the staff took, the doctors, that it's almost a positive the way they handled it. If that sounds fair.
Yeah, I think it's very fair. That's been pretty much said even before all this went down, as far as him deciding to give up football. You know, Coach Bielema held him out of spring practice last year, even though he was cleared. He didn't want to, you know, he just wanted to be safe. And I'm sure, you know, when you're a parent, especially a mom, you appreciate that. And knowing that if Brian did decide to be a Razorback, he, you know, and Coach Bielema is there, he's going to be well taken care of, and he's going to be looked after in a way that would obviously be pleasing to his parents. So, I don't think it's, you know, too unfair to think that right now. I mean, I think that's pretty well known. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, obviously in a situation like this, you want to be sensitive to the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, some fans want to know I even had one fan ask me, do you think Brian will even continue to play? And I'm sure he probably will, but I don't have the guts to ask that right now, because I don't think that's a very important question.
Nope, much more important things to deal with right now. We're talking with Richard Davenport, the recruiting guy for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, WholeHogSports.com. How does Raleigh leaving football impact recruiting for the running back position?
Well, you know, they had small numbers going into this year, around 15 or so spots, and that can fluctuate. I mean, it did a couple of years ago when they were going to sign about the same amount of kids, and then they ended up signing about 23 or 24, I believe. So the number could still go up, but I would tend to think, since, you know, you were going to count on him the next 2 years, you know, they may go from one running back to two in this class. Only time will tell on that. You know, I'm sure they've already discussed that. But it just depends. I mean, you also have the possibility of maybe a late transfer, you know, a graduate transfer, you know, that could possibly come in, and that would take Raleigh's spot. So, you know, I think with recruiting, one of my favorite words is it's a fluid situation, and I think you could probably say that to this too.
Where are they on recruiting running backs for the 2018 class?
Well, they're after two of the better ones in the country, Keontae Ingram out of Texas. Everybody in the country is wanting him. And then Michael, and forgive me about the last name, I'm not sure. Let me look it up right here. He's from D.C., and it's a very, very unusual last name, and it's one that always gives me fits. Let's see. Salahuddin, I assume it's halfway close. Anyway, he's a guy that's got both of them's got about 30 offers plus. And then they recently offered Anthony Grant from Buford, Georgia. He's a very impressive kid. I actually tweeted about him in his video I think, last week. And Jeremy Gibson, he's a guy from Louisiana, a running back who was planning to visit Arkansas for the spring game but was unable to make it. You know, those are just some of the guys. There's others, but right now those are just some of the ones that I've mentioned.
But no commitment yet from a running back for the class of 2018.
No commitment, no. And that may be a while. I think Jeremy Gibson is a guy that could pull the trigger once he gets on campus. He's a guy that has always liked Arkansas and is one that Michael Smith thought he was going to get on campus for the spring game, but obviously the weather didn't cooperate very well.
They could, I was talking about this earlier with Raleigh leading the SEC in rushing last year. If, you know, his career would have gone on and he had another big year, to me, he would have had the big decision of going to the NFL, and very well could have. But they could be in a tough position as far – they do have low numbers, and I know they would like to get more, but you look at it, all the young running backs that they have. You know, with Devlaw, a sophomore, and then you may have T.J. Hammond's a sophomore, and you may have the two true freshmen playing this year. Who knows how it shakes out? But would it be a tough sell for them because, you know, these kids want to play right away, and if they see, well, we got two sophomores, a couple freshmen, you know, it's not like they're losing a lot of guys and opening up playing time.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It just depends. It all depends on the individual. Some kids look at that and go, well, you know, that's pretty standard for I mean, not be standard, but that's not unusual in college football to have, you know, young running backs. And, you know, I'm not afraid of competition. And other guys may look at it and go, I'm going to look at another place. So I think it's a mixed bag. It all depends on the kid and what his thinking is going into college. If he's hoping to see two guys, you know, leave a program as seniors and open up, a situation where it almost guaranteed playing time, yeah, it could be a little difficult for a kid with that type of thinking.
Are there any running backs in Arkansas this year in this class? Any standouts?
No, I wouldn't say that there's one that unless one comes along and really develops out of the blue, which, you know, is always possible. But at this time, I would say that it's unlikely for the 2018 class. But, like I said, I mean, T.J. Hammonds, I mean, when he was a sophomore, he was a guy that definitely impressed, but he just had just an unbelievable off season, and he went from a guy that you would say is a guy to keep an eye on to a definite major college prospect. And so you can always have that type of situation happen again, but as of right now, I'd say it's unlikely.
We're talking to Richard Davenport, the recruiting guy for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I want to talk about this in our next segment, but I want to get your thoughts on it. There's an NCAA proposal out there. I don't know if you've read about it, talked about it, heard about it, but the proposal, if approved, I guess it wouldn't go into effect until next year, next January, but it would allow players to participate in four games in a season without burning the red shirt. Now, a lot of this is coming about with some of the players, and the feeling is that more and more NFL prospects are going to skip the bowl games, and it's going to leave you with a reduced roster. And one of the solutions was, hey, why don't you let the red shirt freshmen play? Well, now the proposal is letting them play in up to four games without burning a red shirt. I know there's another proposal out there, and I don't think it's picking up the steam of basically giving everybody 5 years to play four seasons and not even having red shirts basically anymore. You come onto campus and you get 5 years. But that proposal is kind of slowly fading away. But this one seems to be picking up steam, and it was approved today by some committee, and it will go to another one, and then they'll finally get the NCAA approval if it goes that far. But what do you think about letting kids playing up to four games a year without having to take a red shirt, or still eligible to take a red shirt?
Right. Well, you know, that was kind of standard in the past from the standpoint if a kid got hurt, I think it was around you could play so many quarters, and I think it was around like around four games. Might have been around four or five games, but you used to be able to play. And if you got hurt and you only played in that so many quarters, you could redshirt. But if you go beyond that, you couldn't. So I guess it's kind of a situation similar to that, other than, you know, obviously they could do that later in the season if a situation like you just said about a guy saying he's not going to play in a bowl game, you could go ahead and let that kid play. A lot of times rules and regulations are always good intention, and you really don't learn more. You really don't learn, totally what the ramifications will be until after a year or two. And I think that could be the case here. It could be a case where people take advantage of it to the point where it's not such a good thing. How can you take advantage of it? I don't know off the top of my head, but you could possibly do some things that probably wouldn't be in the best interest of some of the kids. But I don't know. It you ask me in a year or two, and I'll give you a better answer. How's that?
Yeah, it's fresh, and some of the arguments I read made sense, and we'll get into it in a bit. But hey, man, I appreciate you jumping on. It's always good to have you on the show, and thanks for your insight on Raleigh Williams.
All right, buddy, we'll see you, Wes.